Okay, good morning. I'm going to do a little something this morning where we're going to talk about the ministry that we've been involved with. As you guys know, we've been filming a docu-series, so I was told we have a little chance to talk about that right now. And then we have a message on one of my favorite women in the Bible, probably my favorite one, Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I'm looking forward to sharing that as well. And of course, it fits very well because we happen to be nearing Christmas, and what a wonderful time of the year. What an excuse to talk about Jesus every time and bring people in and tell them the most wonderful story ever, when God became man that we might become sons of God. What a beautiful time. So we'll try not to spend too long, maybe 20 minutes here on what we've been up to. So you guys know we've been on a project called Unbreakable Church. We've been filming a docu-series and trying to bring church history to make it easy, simple to understand, dynamic, fun. Those words don't usually go together with history. Usually people think history and they're like, boring. But the difference is church history is our story. It's a story of men and women who fell in love with Jesus throughout history, throughout different times, and they found in Jesus the satisfaction for their souls. So we've really been challenged, because I fell in love with church history way back in the day when I was in college. Halfway through Bible college, I almost became an atheist. Don't know if Amy ever knew that, but it's true. I almost became an atheist halfway through Bible college. I had a lot of doubts, a lot of questions, and apologetics helped me quite a bit. But what really hit me hard was church history. It really, I sometimes say it saved my life. I'm being a little facetious. But what I mean by that is that I found that I wasn't alone in having doubts, in seeking, in looking, and in finding Jesus to be the all-sufficient Savior, and to finding out that my story was the same story throughout 2,000 years of different men and women in different times, that Jesus really is the wonderful thing about church. You know, you go to church and you say, you know, the people are great and stuff, but what makes church wonderful and the reason why I keep coming back isn't because of you all, and I apologize that I didn't mean to offend you. I come because I love Jesus, because Jesus is who, you know, I've hooked my wagon to. He is the anchor of my soul. We have all these phrases, but you know, He's everything to us. He's not just an idea. He's not a theology. He's not a religion. He's not something we do on a Sunday. He is life itself. He is the reason for life itself. So, that being said, our desire was to make the story of church history from Jesus till today and turn it in simple language for people who go to church who maybe don't read the 2,000-page church history books. So what I did is I interviewed the people who do read those books and who do know that, or write those books, some of them, and then try to make it and condense it into simple terms. So we've done season one is what we've been working on. Hopefully we'll have three seasons. So season one was walking through the early church, the persecuted church, the church under heresy, time of heresy, and then into what Protestants like to call the Dark Ages, but really it's the early medieval ages or the early Middle Ages. So it was a great experience. We took 23 days to travel to 6 countries across Europe and the Middle East with my wife and son. And our son was the least of our problems. He was an absolute champ. As a 10-month-old baby, you can believe it. And we also took our cinematographer. And then we had all these lined up, all of our interviews and everything. And, you know, it was interesting because the journey began with Hurricane Helene. Did you guys get any of that fun up here? Only a little bit. You probably got a tropical storm. But we never get anything. And everybody's like, no, there's no problem. Nothing's going to happen. And then all of a sudden at like 2 in the morning, your house is about to fall over. You hear these trees crashing. The baby's crying his eyes out. It was just ridiculous. And it was 3 days before our trip to Europe. And here I am. Well, we have a few days to rest and we got to do a few little details and we're going to just have a good weekend. Instead, I have 2 trees down in my backyard. It tears the power line off my house. Made a big old mess, took our fence down and everything, and I'm like, what do I do? And then our cinematographer had a tree go into his house. So that was really fun. So it was kind of the beginning, and we said, man, how are we going to do this? And I've been thinking about this trip, about all the things that could go wrong in the trip, you know, missing our passports and our luggage, and then all of a sudden this on top of it, and my stress level just went right through the roof. But you know, it turned out to be something really special, because there's that verse in the Bible that talks about when I am weak, then He is strong. And it's this concept of, actually, it almost was a portender to our project, because talking about silver linings or whatnot is this idea that the church has always been weak. The church has always been flawed. The church has always been, you know, worried. And yet the reason why it has stuck around for 2,000 years is because Jesus made a promise, I will build my church, not you will build your church. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it was a promise. And 2,000 years later, we see that. So to us, to start this journey and say, we can't do this. And God's like, that's okay, we can. I can. I got this. You don't have to worry about it. And that was really what we saw and experienced. Because before we left, we had four different people who had been suffering and had lost and had trees through their house and trees down in their backyard and all kinds of things. And had four different people from our church come over to me and hand me money saying, I want to make sure to help a little bit for the project. As you know, it's all been faith-based, and we're up to 77% fundraised, which is really a blessing from the Lord. But, you know, to have people come the day before we leave, and they're suffering their own challenges, and they say, but we want to make sure you're taken care of. We're like, wow, that was really a wonderful thing. We took our trip. We didn't miss a single flight. We didn't have a single problem. We had sunny days every single day, including in London. We had 3 days of sun in London. And the lady with us was like, this doesn't happen. And the day we left, it rained, of course. So really a wonderful thing. So there we are with Genesis at the Atlanta airport taking off. I guess you guys, maybe I shouldn't stand here. Maybe I'll stand over here. So then you guys can appreciate it more. And we stopped. Our first stop was in London. And we had to get a telephone thing. And if you got it on Facebook, we have a whole bunch of pictures and stuff on there, as well as our website. But we went to interview this lady called Beth Pelpula. I know you can't see her super clearly, but she is a former MAIS student. She actually went to school with my brother Jerry, who's a missionary in Cyprus. And she specializes in reaching people in the Muslim community. She's bubbly and happy and friendly, but man, she lives in one of the most difficult places and works with some of the most difficult people. She is an apologist for Christ to Muslims. She's actually become very well known. She's kind of rising in fame. And she goes to the Speaker's Corner in London, which is a very famous place where the Muslim scholars get together. They just yell at each other. They yell everybody else down. And she gets up there and yells at them. And she keeps going back. That tells you the type of woman she is. And yet she has this joyful spirit. So I when I was doing a project, I called up several people who I was trusting. And I said, I would like to include a woman in a project, but it's not going to be a DEI hire. You know what I mean? That's it. Sorry. Don't offend anybody. But I mean, she needs to be really good. She needs to know what she's talking about. Like everybody else in the project. And I had like three people say, you got to talk to Beth. You got to talk to Beth. You got to talk to Beth. And so we did. And we interviewed Beth. And she did a section on women in church history, as well as women in Islam. We had a special little section. And man, it was fantastic. It was definitely worth it. When we got there, she said, well, what else do you need to film in London? I said, no, we came to see you. I said, everything else is extra. But she still took us to Buckingham Palace and Canterbury and Westminster Abbey, sorry, that's what I was thinking, and all the fun stuff. Okay, then we flew across from London to Izmir, which is ancient Smyrna, and of course nearby to Smyrna is the famous city of Ephesus, and we had our tour guide, who is actually a pastor of a church there in Izmir. He's in the bottom right corner, sitting in the middle, and we're eating a traditional Turkish meal, and our cinematographer's there on the right, but in the middle was a 40-ish man called Bunair, and he had good English, but I kept recognizing he kept smiling and nodding. Sometimes he didn't understand us, so communication was a little problem, but he was driving us around and being very friendly, but he suffered great persecution for his faith. There's about 80-some million people in Turkey, but only about 3,000 Christians. One of the smallest percentages in the world, one of the most difficult places in the world, and he suffered persecution. If you guys heard about the Malatya murders back in 2008 or so, you guys hear about that? So there were some of them, and they were close friends of my brother Jerry, and they were about 2 hours away from my brother Jerry over in eastern Turkey, and these Muslims were pretending to be interested in Jesus, and they were going to these Bible studies, and then one day they show up and they just cut everybody's throats at this meeting. And it was an ordeal. It made international news. My brother was on television a lot, even internationally. It was really crazy. But Bonaire was supposed to be in that room that day. But some little weird thing happened, and he wasn't able to make it. And he called and said, I'm not going to make it today. So he knows he was supposed to be in there. He would have died. But that was spurred him on to say, and I asked him, did that bring fear to your life? He says, no, it spurred me on to say, I have got an opportunity to live. Therefore, I'm going to live for Christ. And so he became a pastor, and he started preaching the gospel and being even more outspoken. And it's really an inspiration. So it was really wonderful to have him with us. And of course, he was also, at the time, attending one of the other pastors in the same city of Pastor Brunson,
And Pastor Brunson's story happened a few years back where he was arrested on the accused accusation of terrorism. So he was a personal friend of Pastor Brunson, also my brother Jerry. And so we also interviewed Pastor Brunson. I think I told you guys about that. But we did that stateside. And Pastor Brunson is a story of incredible things. Being 2 years in jail, being told you're going to spend your life there. And then 36 hours sitting in front of the President of the United States of America and praying for him. It was an incredible story. So that Bonera, he's lived through a lot. And one little story before I forget. I have so many stories, but his little boy is 10 years old. And his little boy goes to a school, and they're all Muslims and everything. And he has no friends of his age that are Christians. There are so few Christians. And he told his dad one day, he said, "Dad, why can't we just be Muslims? Then I could have some friends." It was so hard. The persecution weighed so hard on him. And he's, dad said, he's a strong kid. He's a bold kid. He doesn't give up. He talks about Jesus to his friends. And he tries to get them, but none of them want to talk about Jesus because everybody is Muslim. And it is so difficult to come to Christ. But then, in other moments, he tells his dad, "No, we have to be strong for Jesus." And he realizes, this little 10-year-old boy realizes the weight of being a Christian, how hard it is. A lot of us don't even realize what it's like to live in a persecuted church. In the time of the modern persecuted church, it is very dangerous, very difficult. So anyways, we took a little Luther there, 10-month-old. He saw a camera and he smiled every time. He knew what was happening. And I told him we're paying him in diapers and formula. That's the only royalties he's going to get. But he was up for the job. And man, he brought so many smiles to our faces and really a joy. After Ephesus, we traveled up. Actually, we made a stop in Nicaea, ancient Nicaea, which is now called doesn't matter, Seljuk. But anyways, we were on our way. That was a really cool town, by the way. And then we went to Istanbul, which is a monster city. It can take you 2 hours just to get into the city. Awful. But we needed to do, the Hagia Sophia and the Blue Mosque and the downtown and the Sultanahmet, all the fun stuff in Istanbul. But one day was enough. We're like, okay, we're out of the big city. But we interviewed someone there called Mark Madrigal. You see him on the right picture, the black shirt to the right of me. And Mark Madrigal is a missionary from Spain. He was a missionary in Istanbul. He's the pastor of a church there. Super knowledgeable. And I've been to Istanbul several times. But going with him was crazy because he kept pointing out things that were Christian history. He says, "Oh, Constantine built that. Oh, that's Justin's pillar. Oh, over here, that was a gift from the Egyptian Empire." Constantine back in the day. And he had all these things. And of course he said, but if you talk to these goons, they're going to lie to you about everything is Muslim, everything is Islam. But Constantinople was a Christian city until 1450 something. Okay? And it's deeply rooted. Even the Hagia Sophia, their famous, most famous church in Istanbul, is a former Christian church that got turned into a mosque. Of course, they lie to you about all those things. But there's an incredible, deep-rooted Christian history, and yet Islam came and wiped it all out. And it happened across Egypt, Northern Africa, the Middle East. A tremendous story there. Then we went to visit my brother. Now, I didn't interview my brother because he's my brother. He's actually really smart, really knows his stuff. He was a big help in the project as well. So he's in the middle of the top left picture. Well, he's in almost all of them. And we were with his wife, Sarah. So you guys know Jerry and Sarah Maddox have been missionaries in Turkey, now in Northern Cyprus, for 20-some years. And they have their three kids. One of them is still there. Jerry was a great interview. We talked about a lot of incredible things. He speaks Turkish like a Turk. He looks like a Turk. He really understands the culture, language, the people, the things. And one of the things we talked about is how, as Westerners, we tend to see history through Western eyes, through Western worldview, where most of history actually in the church is actually Eastern, and then it's Western. So talking to someone like Jerry and Mark really exposed the other side of church history. So it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. And of course, we were in doing all kinds of fun stuff, going all kinds of fun places. And Luther, again, was the star of the show. It was a lot of fun. We then went to Rome, and I'm part Italian, so like when I go to Italy, man, my DNA is like bubbling up, and I'm like, I'm home again. Mamma mia. Not true. But I get really excited in Rome, and we had a lot of fun. It was my second time there, and we had a brother there called Pasquale, Daniel Pasquale. He's been a CMMM missionary for 50-plus years. And he's still there, and his lovely wife, and he has a son there who's also, I think he's commended Danny. They call him Danny, but he's Daniele, so you're like, that's a woman's name. No. In Italy, that's not. Daniele is a man's name. And Daniele Pasquale runs the Bible school, which used to be run by the dad. And so we stayed at the Bible school. We saw their students. We interacted a whole bunch. I'll tell you a story. It's kind of a terrible story. I don't offend anybody. But so we were at the Bible school, Christian Bible school, right, in Rome. The students, very happy, very eager. They were spending time. And the last night we were there, they made a special dinner for us, kind of as a goodbye. We spent about 5 days in Rome. And at the table, they had all this, you know, you can imagine all the pasta, all the good food. And they had their own olive oil and tried all this crazy stuff. But she had wine. And I looked around and said, they're pouring wine for everybody. I'm like, are you allowed to do this in the Bible school? Because I remember going to man's and that was not a thing. Like, we got in big trouble for that. And they gave everybody wine. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then the missionary's wife, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here, but it was her, goes around saying, what beer do you want? I said, I already have wine. Why are you offering me beer? What's wrong with you? This is a Bible school. And then later she says, I make my own vodka for weddings. It's very special vodka. Do you want to try some? I said, I've had beer and wine, and now you're offering me vodka at Bible school. You might not want to write about this back to the churches in the States. But of course she says, you're in Italy. And she said, nobody gets drunk here, but we enjoy it. So anyways, it was very scary. It was very disconcerting. It was a lot of fun. They were great people. But they have a wonderful ministry. They love the Lord over there. And we interviewed a brother there called Corrado. So Corrado is an Italian man. He has the eyebrows and the big ears to prove it and a big nose. Wonderful guy. He's there on the right. And he's a pastor of a church there in Rome. Again, in Europe, there's very few Christians. It's very difficult. So these people, they really do a lot for the Lord. They really strive for the Lord and do a lot of great things. But he was our interviewee, and he is a specialist in early church history and Roman history. And he's actually taught at university level there in Rome at like secular colleges too. So very, very well-spoken, very smart, and a lot of fun. Really nice guy. I'll never forget, we went to an Italian restaurant and ate fresh pasta. And our cinematographer had never been out of the States. Kind of dangerous to take him. And we sit down at a pasta place, and he's trying the pasta. He says, this pasta's undercooked. And he tells me, he said, what? You don't know what pasta is. Don't talk about pasta. This pasta's undercooked. He just about got the gladiator treatment. All right. And our last stop was in Milan, or Milano. And that's the famous Duomo di Milano there, and it's a very beautiful area. That was kind of our last little stop, just kind of for fun. But of course, we were telling the stories of many persons in church history. And if you know the story in Milan, where Augustine of Hippo gave his life to Jesus. So we got to go to that church, it's still preserved. They even have the place where he was baptized, which made such an incredible commotion. One of the worst sinners of his time, an absolute playboy, all of a sudden comes and gives his life to Christ, and he declares before the world being baptized in the church in Milan. An incredible story that has always inspired me, a story of grace. So that's one of the stories we told, and so we had to go to Milan and get that. So if you guys don't know, that is our website, unbreakablechurch.com. We do need your prayers, though, for the next part. The most important part is now. We have 100 plus hours of material, and now we have to condense it into 3 episodes of 40 minutes. So we've come a long ways already. I'm working this week to condense them down to 3 episodes. We had about 18 hours of interviews. Everybody's so long-winded, especially in church history. I mean, everybody has a million things to tell you, and I'm like, I only want to know this much stuff, but, So Pastor Brunson, we interviewed him, and he was an hour and a half, and I whittled him down to 5, and you're like... Anyways, it was great. It was great content. And then Jerry, of course, is kind of like me, very long-winded. So I was like, Jerry, I told you, 1 minute answers, and you're giving me 5. And it's my brother, so I could chew him out. But the rest of them I couldn't really chew out, and they were kind of going on and on. And it was great, amazing content. So trying to take that all in and make it easily understandable and stuff. But man, what a wonderful journey it's been. Now we're going to hopefully finish by about February or March with the edits. Have it all ready. Genesis 9, most likely, we'll be going to Dallas in February to the NRB, I think it's called. It's the National Broadcast News. Something like that. But it's a big one. It's like the biggest one. And then we'll be going to another one in Europe next year, and then one more here in the States end of this year. And what we'll be looking for is distributors. First in English and then in other languages. We also might produce a book with it. as well and find some publishers. So, and be praying for that. That's the hardest part. We, as you guys know, we took kind of a risk because when we first were starting this project and we shared it with several companies, we actually had a few offers on the table. And we told them no because we have an executive producer who's been there and done that for like 40 years. And he says, your funding is doing well. It's not a very high budget at all. It's a very, very low budget project. So why don't you just produce it the way you think you can produce it and then look for a distributor? So it was a little bit of a risk, like betting on ourselves. But the problem was that these companies will come and they'll have their own idea of what they want you to say. And a lot of them have their own denominational strain. They'll be, you know, Calvinist or Pentecostal or Charismatic or something. And they want to kind of sway you one way or another. And I said, we want to do evangelical non-denominational. We want it to be used and appreciated by any Christian under, you know, that's considered evangelical, that will be appreciated from the Baptists and the Presbyterians to the Pentecostals, and they'd be able to plug it in and say, wow, you know, this is inspirational and wonderful. We're going to talk about the things that matter and not the things that unnecessarily divide, if you know what I'm talking about. So very clear gospel and whatnot too. So so now the bet, we're going to see if we make it, if people will pick it up. So we're very excited, but we do need your prayers. So please, even though it seems like the most important part is done, actually we're in the middle of the most important part, trying to curate all that content and make it easy to understand, fun, and dynamic, but also for the glory of God. That's really at the heart of our project. So I would ask you guys to pray for us in that. That's about all I have for this. If someone has a question or something that I maybe didn't explain well, sorry to shock you guys with the Rome story. Some of you guys are a little nervous about that. Don't go to the Bible school in Rome. Terrible, terrible, terrible story. Oh. Terrible story. I've experienced that a lot in the international, but in the States, yeah, it's a little different. So, anybody have a question about something or anything that I might have missed? Yes, brother.
Is your brother still serving in Turkey?
Yes, he is. He's been in northern Cyprus. He got blacklisted from the country, so he lives now in northern Cyprus, which is Turkish occupied. But he's been there 20 some years, and they don't plan on leaving anytime soon. Sure. Yeah, I'm a missionary kid. I was born and raised in Bolivia, South America. My parents are still missionaries 52 years later. But the five of us, four of us are missionaries. Well, I'm no longer a missionary, but I call myself a missionary to Americans. So I guess kind of. So I kind of think that way. So my brother is in Cyprus, I already mentioned, and we have a brother in Bolivia, Jesse. I'm the youngest. And then a sister, Gina, who you probably see in the missionary handbook as a Johnson. So they're in Burundi. So they're like a third-generation missionary family. And we're a third-generation missionary family. Yeah, I'm the youngest. I was a missionary in Bolivia for 12 years. And then we came to the States to get my wife's green card. And we could have left right away. And then COVID hit. And we also were kind of... like, man, there's a lot more need in America than anywhere in South America we've ever been to. We traveled all over South America. And I said, there's more need here. So the Lord kind of put it on our heart to stay here. And we were in Seattle. That's where we were originally commended from. That's why I'm a little wacky. And from there, we had offers across the country from San Diego to Houston to other places. And we ended up moving to North Augusta, South Carolina. God knows why, and yet it's been such a beautiful thing. I mean, it was just a wonderful thing to come here to the South. There's a lot of there's a natural connection with culture, I think, with Hispanics and the way the South is and stuff. So we've really enjoyed it. So that's kind of where we are now, and then we don't know where we're going to be in 5 years, but for now, it's where we are, and we're very blessed. Thank you, brother. Okay, should I pray? Heavenly Father, for this time, thank you for the opportunity to share about this ministry and these pictures and such a great experience that I was able to have with my family and our cinematographer and the different missionaries that are dedicating their life to you every single day over there in very difficult areas. Thank you for the opportunity to gather their wealth and to now I pray, though, that you'd help us to present their concepts and to present history and something that would be trustworthy and earnest and special, dynamic, but especially that would honor and glorify you above all things. So just thank you for that. And I also pray for this chapel, for those who are coming, and just for their enthusiasm to reach their community as well for Christ. And you'd encourage them and build them up to continue and to press on despite challenging times that we face and may yet get darker, but that you would always inspire us to continue on. In Jesus' name, amen.